Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Now, the United States is currently leading a diplomatic effort to deter Israel from striking Lebanon's capital, Beirut, or major civil infrastructure in response to the rocket attacks on the occupied Golan Heights. Meanwhile, the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Micheál Martin, has advised Irish citizens against all travel to Lebanon and urged Irish citizens in Lebanon to leave the country by commercial means. Well, in a few minutes, we'll speak to foreign correspondent Hannah McCarthy. But just before we came on air, I spoke to Enda Nevin, who is an Irish citizen living in Lebanon, and I began by asking him if he shared Micheál Martin's concerns and asked him if he was making a decision to leave.
I understand where the concerns are coming from. I mean, there's very limited options to get out of Lebanon if the airport closes down. But for me personally, I work in the humanitarian space with a humanitarian organisation, and I have decided to continue working here for the time being anyway. And the situation would have to get pretty bad for me to leave, I think, but we take it as it comes, I think.
Does that suggest that your expectation is that it's not going to get very bad?
I think my kind of expectation is living kind of here, like week by week, maybe day by day, and seeing how the situation develops. I think in relation to what's happened in the occupied Golan Heights and the response to that, it's difficult to say what's going to come from that, but it seems to, the word on the street seems to be that it'll be a measured response and that it won't actually break the rules of engagement. So for the time being, I'm happy enough to be here. But as I said, we kind of look at the situation daily, weekly, and see how things turn out. Yeah. But for the time being, I'm more than happy to stay here.
How long have you been there, and can you tell us a little bit about your time there?
So I've been here 9 years. So that's quite a long time for an expat. So I've moved around from various organizations, working with an NGO, then with the UN, and now back with an NGO again. I've lived in Lebanon when I first arrived. It was really quite good times economically. The country was doing okay. There's a vibrancy to the city. But then after that, multiple crises, the blast, the economic collapse, revolution, banks closing down, people losing their money. So there was a time, and electricity, like no electricity in the country. So there was a time for like 4 or 5 years, up to the present, really, I suppose, where things have been quite difficult for the Lebanese. And I think, yeah, I think difficult for the Lebanese. And I think that feeds into the current situation at the moment, where like life still goes on very much in Beirut. Like people are going out, the bars, restaurants, clubs are still open, sports activities still ongoing. And there's this kind of sense of, very much in line with what I was saying earlier, actually. It's more like living kind of day to day, week to week. My time here, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. The people themselves are very warm and friendly. It's been a very kind of a more open place than most places in the region. It kind of the beaches are fantastic, the skiing in the winter. It's just a really nice place to live.
And since this attack then in the occupied Golan Heights, has the mood changed somewhat? Are people fearful about what might happen?
I don't think they're, like the conversation definitely amongst my Lebanese friends is one like, well, what is going to happen? But it's, I wouldn't say that there is fear. I wouldn't say that there is a huge amount of anxiety amongst the people in Beirut anyway. While there is chatter about it, I think, again, they will only really take a decision on these things if the worst happens. And I think the worst being the worst is like, I mean, the movement across the border and up towards Beirut, which I don't think would happen instantly. I think that would take a little bit of time. So I think, again, I think the people are just living day to day. And I think there is a heightened sense at the moment about what's going to happen next. Mm. But there is, as I said before, there is a general kind of feeling that that the response will be more measured. And because nobody in the region wants this.
Yes, of course. Although there, obviously, you would be well aware there has been this statement from Benjamin Netanyahu that the response will be harsh. But again, we don't really know at this point exactly what that means. Are you concerned, or do you have family back home in Ireland who might be concerned if things do get much rougher than they are at the moment, that you might not be able to get home?
Yeah, my family are very much aware of the situation. I keep them informed of what's going on. My father is very well read on the dynamics within the region itself. He's probably better informed than I am, to be honest. And I don't think they're unduly concerned about my decision to stay here. If the situation obviously did deteriorate and the unthinkable happened, well, then obviously I think naturally they'd be very concerned. But again, let's see, and let's hope that that doesn't happen.
All right. Well, it's very good of you to take the time to speak to us this evening, and I really appreciate it. And I hope you're able to stay safe. Enda Nevin, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Take care.
And that was Irishman Enda Nevin, who works for the French NGO ACTED in Lebanon, speaking to me earlier. Well, for more on the conflict in the Middle East, we're joined now by foreign correspondent Hannah McCarthy. And Hannah, you're welcome. Indeed, since that conversation that I had with Enda Nevin a little earlier on, breaking in just the last couple of minutes, Reuters is reporting that there was a loud blast heard in the southern suburbs of Beirut. I don't know, have you any update on that?
Sure. So about 30 minutes ago, there was a large blast over southern Beirut. Southern Beirut is where Hezbollah is concentrated. So I'm seeing kind of pictures that have been taken from above Beirut, and we're seeing kind of smoke coming up from the area. It's not yet clear whether the attack was carried out by a drone or a fighter jet. It's looking like it was a kind of targeted attack with a drone. We're getting more facts at the moment, but this does seem to be the response that we were expecting yesterday. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowed that Israel's response will come and it will be severe to that attack that killed 12 Jewish children in the occupied Golan Heights. We actually kind of were expecting a response a bit sooner, but it seems like the riots that took place at Israeli military bases yesterday slowed the response. And again, what we kind of been hearing about the kind of diplomatic efforts following that attack on the occupied Golan Heights was that Israel will be responding. It's not a question of whether they will be restrained, but a question of what they will strike and how severe their response will be. And again, what we've been hearing is that countries like the US and France had been cautioning Israel against targeting Beirut and populated areas like that, you know, to focus more on Hezbollah infrastructure, military targets. So to what extent civilians have been injured in this attack is not yet clear. They're saying that we understand that the target was a senior Hezbollah commander who was had some sort of responsibility for the attack on the occupied Golan Heights. So I'm sure there'll be more details of that and the scale of that attack. But so far, it seems like a targeted strike on Beirut. And again, that is a change in the tempo. There has been a drone strike in Beirut before when a Hamas commander was killed in October. So again, it's not the first time Beirut has been struck. But again, most people were hoping that Beirut would be left alone in the response.
Okay, and I understand it's very difficult in the absence of information that we have at the moment, given that news is only just emerging in the last 30 minutes or so, to make any judgment as to the scale of this attack and the likely response to that, because obviously the scale of it will dictate the likely response, if any, to it. But just on that basis, if this is effectively seen as a tit for tat, although I know Hezbollah has denied involvement in the initial attack in the Golan Heights, but if the scale of the casualties is somewhat similar, could we maybe see that this might come to a close, this particular aspect of the conflict between the two?
Again, we'll all be kind of waiting to see as more details emerge from this attack. If it is a targeted attack on a senior commander, it may be that there is a response similar to what we've seen from Hezbollah in its previous responses. But again, a lot will be depending on how Hezbollah responds to this and whether there is an escalation and whether this becomes a full-blown regional war. So, and again, this may just be the first strike. We don't know whether there's more strikes happening, whether there'll be further strikes in other parts of Lebanon. So, I mean, this could be just the first attack of several in their response. So, again, there's a lot to monitor at the moment.
Okay, so it really is a very live and developing situation, very difficult to make any judgments at this point. I might just ask you then, Hannah, separately, because Israel has a number of different issues going on a number of different fronts, and internally there's been protests at an Israeli army base over the past 48 hours after Israeli soldiers were held there. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on there?
Sure. So there were protests at two Israeli military bases, Sde Tamim prison and Beth Lid base. So quick background is that Sde Tamim is a military base in the Negev desert, about 18 miles from Gaza. And since the start of the war, it's been used as a detention centre for Palestinians detained in Gaza. Some of these are from groups like Hamas, Islamic Jihad. Many are not and were arbitrarily detained by Israeli soldiers. This detention centre is not part of the normal Israeli prison system. It's not subject to the same oversight. And there have been serious claims of mistreatment of prisoners since the start of the war. Allegations that prisoners' hands have been amputated because they've been handcuffed for so long. The Israeli outlet Haaretz has reported that about 30 Palestinian prisoners have died there. And recently, an inmate believed to have been a member of Hamas was brought to a hospital. A medical examination found that he had injuries that were so severe that he could not walk and that they were consistent with rape by a foreign object. And against this backdrop, there's obviously been the rulings from The Hague and signs from the UK that it will suspend the export of weapons to Israel due to violations of international law. So the Israeli military are under much more pressure to demonstrate that they are not engaging in war crimes or human rights abuses. So as a result of this medical examination, several military police went to the base where the Israeli reservists are alleged to abuse the Palestinian man were stationed. There was some scepticism from some Israeli human rights groups as to how substantive this investigation would be. Is it just, you know, a front to show that, you know, some sort of investigation is taking place? And again, when you spread that these military police were going to arrest Israeli reservists, there were protests by far-right members of the Israeli parliament. A large crowd started protesting at the military base, you know, saying that, you know, Israeli soldiers should not be arrested for abusing terrorists. The Israeli far-right finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, said soldiers should not be arrested like criminals. And then when the reservists were taken to another military base where the Israeli military court is located, there was again a further protest by a right-wing crowd. They stormed the court building. And again, this whole confrontation just underscores how emboldened Israel's far-right has become since the 7th of October and how divided Israeli society is and could become. It's been described by some as a coup or an attempt by a militia to overthrow the military.
All right. So as I say, many different aspects that Israel is dealing with at the moment. Just to let you know, Sky News is reporting that the IDF has claimed responsibility for that retaliatory strike on Beirut. So that's an unfolding situation, as you've outlined, Hannah, and we'll keep an eye on it over the course of the programme this evening. Thank you very much for joining us. That is Hannah McCarthy joining us there.